You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when it turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Happy IBCLT Day. And what does that mean? We're about to find out. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I welcome all of you to our show today. And a warm welcome and a big hug across the miles for our guest today. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Hi, Sakuli. This is, I am Stephanie George. I am Oneida Nation and French Canadian. I'm an Indigenous midwife and an International Board Certified Lactation Consultant, a mom, a sister, a daughter, oh, and a guest of your lovely show, Dr. Dawn.
I'm so happy you're here. Oh, congratulations. This is a special day. Tell us why.
Today is the day that has been set up to celebrate the World International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. And I didn't know that I had a day until after I became a lactation consultant.
Awesome. So that's great. Well, mothers and babies everywhere are thankful and grateful. So I hope someone has said thank you for all that you're doing, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I've had a few messages. And well, am I allowed to say the B-O-O-B word on your show?
Yes, you are.
Pillowcase.
You
that
can.
Says I... It's a pillowcase, and it says, "I love you with all my boobs. I would say my heart, but my boobs are bigger."
Aww. Oh, this is wonderful that you are doing so much. And so for all of these wonderful, wonderful consultants and midwives and people that are helping us, we're grateful. We're so very thankful. And we're even more grateful because, wow, I mean, okay, a pandemic, ramping up to World War III, you know, it's crazy, perilous times right here. And folks like you are helping to guide us so that we can keep things as normal and blessed as possible for our little ones. How does that feel?
I'm grateful for what I do, and I'm grateful for the focus. My very first birth as a student midwife, it happened almost to the minute of a police occurrence happening on disputed land on outside of Six Nations, Nations. So it happened almost at that very moment. So Creator taught me right then, like, know about politics, but moms, babies, and families are your focus, and they need the stability when everything else is going to pot.
I love that. Thank you so much. You just changed my life just now, because I even feel like as a mama, the babies are the focus. You know, there's a lot going on. I understand that. But my job, Creator gave me an assignment, and it's to have a happy family. And so I appreciate that. So how do we focus, though, even as you help your mothers who are giving birth or who are nursing and breastfeeding? How do we keep our focus when things are looking kind of wild out there?
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good question. And I've actually been homeless 3 times in my life. So once I was homeless, she and my dad had divorced, and we lost our house. So we were crowd surfing. The second time We were moving from British Columbia to Ontario, and I had a little nursling. I think Cordelia was like 7 months old when that was happening. And everybody else in the family, well, the older two and my husband, like, they knew kind of what was going on. But the two little ones, Cordelia and Luke, they knew they had mom there, so it didn't matter because home was mom.
Mm-hmm.
Home wasn't the house. It wasn't the mountains or the flatlands. Home is mom. And then the third time we were homeless, this happened 10 years ago, we had a house fire.
Oh, and, I'm so sorry.
It was, thank you. I wouldn't want to go through it again, but a lot of good stuff came out of that. But when, so strangers, friends of my son, one of my sons, they took us in, and again, the two little ones shared a bed with me. So regardless of what was happening, mom was that stability that they needed throughout all that time. And my ex-husband has a mental illness, and he had domestic violence issues. Mm-hmm. And when he would go off the rails, again, the kids knew that at least when they were little, things are different when they're teenagers. Mm-hmm. But at least then they knew that mom was a safe place and mom would take care of them. Mm-hmm. And I think as moms, I hear from so many moms that they think they're failing, and it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Because they see the world's expectations of, you know, teaching your kid two languages and, you know, having the proper friends and going into the proper preschool or whatever. And we forget that the most important thing is especially in our way, the mother's influence on the child. Mm-hmm. Nothing supersedes that.
Mm. I really appreciate you saying that. I needed to hear that myself. And I'm sure a lot of our other friends who are listening need to hear it, because I think we all have dreams. We want the very best for our children, and we want them to have a happy childhood. And with a war and a pandemic and the economy and the,
yep,
you know, politics and strange people and all this, you know, that's going on around us, it is very easy to begin to think, oh, no, I hope I'm not ruining their childhood. I hope they're, you know,
right?
I hope I'm not messing up so terribly, you know. And I think that's really important for us to address. I kind of think that the fact that we even are concerned about being good mothers means we are already good mothers in a way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember my third son, I had severe postpartum depression with him. And I was getting these intrusive thoughts of throwing one of my other kids through a window. And that kid was the happiest, most chill, wonderful kid you could ever meet. Still is. He's like 24 now. He's still like that. But I told my midwife, and, you know, as an Indigenous person, it took me a lot to tell her, because I was afraid my kids were going to get apprehended, you know? But I told her, and the first thing she said is, how do you feel when that happens? And I said, I'm terrified because I don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, that proves to me that it's not.
Right. Right.
And she's the reason I became a midwife, because she was just so amazing. And really? She didn't call CAS on me.
Yeah,
she is. She, my mom did teach me a lot of good things. And she gets upset when she only hears the bad, but I do say a lot of good about my mom, and we can get into that later if you like. But when I was growing up, anything good I did, she took credit for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if I got a good mark, it's because she told me to take the class, or she got me to do my homework, or whatever
right.
it was. Mm-hmm. I played flute because she paid for my lessons. So my midwife was the first person who said to me, wow, do you know how much strength it took for you to make that decision? That's awesome. I'm so proud of you, and you're so strong. And I had never heard that before, and I was like 30.
Wow.
Yeah, it shouldn't take us that long. I mean, I make moms cry. I hope I make at least one mom cry once a month.
Yes.
Telling her that she's doing such a great job, because we don't hear it enough.
Well, that's going to be our get off the couch step for today. I want all of our friends who are listening, we're going to start building each other up more. I mean, wherever you are, whoever you are, we're going to build up the moms around us. We're going to build up the dads. We're going to build up the kids. We're going to build up the coworkers and the friends. I mean, we're just going to start going around sprinkling kindness into every situation and compliments and praise, because I think there's a real, almost a profound and terrible lack of love in our culture.
Right? Yes.
And that's something
and
we can all do.
In competition.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It's so easy to say, mm-hmm. you did a great job with that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how hard? It's not hard to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to do it. And we're going to do it with no expectations. We're just going to do it.
Yeah.
You know? And we're going to do it when we think of it. You know, how many times have we seen someone and we think, oh, they look nice today, but we won't say anything to them because we don't know them. We don't have to know them. We don't have to know them.
Right.
We don't have to make it weird either. We can just, you know, you see a mom and she's doing the best she can with, you know, her two little kids at the supermarket. You can say something kind. You're allowed.
Yeah.
We give you permission. And you can start, I think we don't even start enough with the people in our own families and friendships either. You know?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I really appreciate
you agree.
Bringing that out to us. So, okay, so as we look at your life and your journey, you know, this wonderful midwife who encouraged you and blessed you, what are some of the things that she did that we can do to help other people?
Give space. And I don't mean like distance, but if she asked a question, to allow that space for me to think about it, because again, as Indigenous people, we don't know how honest we can be, right? Because, like in Canada, apprehension is still a really big deal for our people.
Right.
So she gave me the space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's so wrong. It's so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, she was the first person to hold up that mirror to help me see myself through somebody else's eyes. And I mean, I will admit, I still have issues with it. I mean, I remember you left me a lovely message after the last time we talked, and you know, I listened to that, and when people give my bios before I give conference talks, it's like, oh my gosh, you're like talking, oh my gosh, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have something where it's hard for me to see it, probably because of all the years of emotional abuse that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got your message saved, and it's never being deleted.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. See, that's what we can all do for one another. All of us can be encouragers. We can all be cheerleaders for one another. We can. Everyone can encourage someone.
We can.
We have to do it. It's so important, because we never know when it's life or death, you know.
Right.
And I think it's really important, too. You know, I've had people where, you know, I've praised them or I've said something to them, and they're like, oh, no, no. Oh, well, many people are better or whatever. Well, they may be better, but that doesn't mean you're not good, too.
That's right. I remember, and it was before my son started working. There's a coffee chain in Canada called Tim Hortons, and it was before Braden started working there. And I remember taking him through the drive-through, and he looked at the woman who was working there and said, oh, I really love your tattoos and your ring.
Mm.
And she just lit up. And I was so proud of him for saying, because he meant it. It wasn't just it was a real compliment. You don't have to lie. Just find something good to say about somebody. My dad, he's French Canadian, and he does have Indigenous blood too, but they weren't raised that way and they don't identify. But he passed away in 2015, and at his funeral, somebody came. So my dad used to be, my dad did work, volunteer work for hospice for the last 20 years of his life.
Mm-hmm.
So he would do respite care, he would do drives, and he got to know a lot of people. And this one person came up, and she had a facial deformity, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And she came up to me with tears in her eyes and said, you know what, your dad was the only person in life who made me feel beautiful.
Mm. Wow.
And that's what I want to be. I want to be my dad's 2.0.
Yes. Oh, you're off to a great start. You are. I mean, you really are, because the one thing I see in you so much is hope. when a lot of the medical community is centered on what's wrong, and you're centered on how much is right. And, you know, I believe we're all doing the best we can with what we have to do with. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that. And I think that we'll do better later, but we're doing the best we can right now. And if we want folks to do better, we have to help them do better. We have to help them.
Right.
We have to be the person that says, okay, I'm going to come alongside you. And that's what I see inside of your heart, is that you give people hope. You know, I already feel better.
Good.
And I felt pretty good today. But, I mean, I think of all the wonderful mothers and children that who you're touching their lives, and then they'll go on to do amazing things in their communities and in their world and in their life, all because you helped to give them a good start. So what do you think are the most important qualities that an Indigenous midwife has to have?
Well, in one of our teachings, and it's the teaching to the dads when a woman is pregnant, but I apply it to us as well, is to be that willow tree. Mm. So you're strong, you're centered, and you're grounded really, really deep. And then when things are happening during pregnancy, and, you know, we all, as much as we think we're holding it all together when we're pregnant, there are days we don't. Mm-hmm. And as a midwife, we just go with that, and we let them say what they need to, and then we bring them back to the center if they're willing to walk with us back to the center.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's beyond our capabilities, to stay with her and help her get the other professional help she needs, but not to abandon her in her times of need.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen too many people say, open up to somebody, say, well, you need counseling, go over there. And then they never follow up. And I'm like, I'm with them until they say, Steph, I'm good, go away.
Yeah.
And I like that part, because when they tell me to go away, I know they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like when people say I'm okay, and that might, whatever I say, is, you know, well, okay is better than terrible.
Yeah.
Because it is. But okay, yeah, is an awful word, because it could mean so. I was okay after my car accident too, because I wasn't in a wheelchair, but I still had 2 years of recovery. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I appreciate you bringing out that insight too, because I think that we have to meet people where they really are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the curse of perfectionism, right? Instagram has all the mom accounts. Everyone's house is perfect, and their newborn is sleeping through the night, and they look great in color-coordinated outfits.
Yep.
You know, right? And
yep.
We're sitting here in our pajamas.
Yes. I know, when I do a postpartum visit, like when I was more of an active midwife, I would go in and like to do the day 1, 3, 5, and 10 visits in the home before they came back to the birthing center. And I'd walk in and they'd start apologizing for the mess. Mm-hmm. And I'd look at them and I said, oh, I would be worried if the house was clean. This is fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. If you have children, it's okay. If your house looks like they live there, you know, it's like, it's okay.
Yep.
You know, it's so interesting too, because, we had a real struggle to have children. I was told I would never have any. And then I have a miracle child, literally a miracle child.
Mm.
Like, and I love the mess.
Yeah.
I know this is going to sound so strange, but like, I remember thinking to myself, I get to change diapers. And I'm not saying that everyone just act like that, but that's how I felt. I mean, I really have felt that way. Like, it's so, you know, I suffered so long, and then, oh my goodness, it's like, I feel really privileged. I feel like it's an honor, you know, to finally be blessed with a family. And so sometimes I look around and I'm like, there's toys on the floor. You know? I feel so good about that. I know, because, you know, my house used to be pristine and perfect, and I was glamorous and well-known and active in so many things, and walking the red carpet and doing that. But all the while, my heart was breaking every day. I was so lonely for my child. And now that I have a child and I'm not nearly so glamorous and there are toys on the floor and, you know, I'm so happy with that. because it's a sign to me that my prayers have been answered.
And what an inspiration and hope you are to others because of your struggle.
Right? Well, yeah.
I think that's beautiful. Because I've helped, not a lot, but I've helped some women through their battle with infertility, and it is such a lonely journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
The world's expectations are private expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the woman that I was the one woman I was helping belonged to a church where family was the end all and be all of
yep.
life.
That's right.
And the comments to her were just like, you're being selfish because you don't, it's like, oh my goodness, leave them alone. They don't know. You don't know the struggle somebody else is having. That's why, like, I will always stick up for formula feeding mom, because there are some moms who just can't breastfeed. So I will go to bat for them too, because they need that love and support when the world is shaming them, and there should never be shame in formula feeding.
Right, right. And I really thank you for that, bringing that out, because I think we have to take shame away from all of it. You know, right? I mean, I have never learned anything better because someone was yelling at me or shaming me about it. You know?
No.
I'm assuming no one else does either. So let's stop shaming people, children, families, mothers, fathers. If you have something that will help them, if you have knowledge that will encourage them, if they need to make a change, okay. But we can do that without judgment. We can do that without shame. I really do believe that.
Yes. Yeah. My daughter taught me a really valuable lesson. I think she was like only 15 or 16. And she and I were having this conversation about people flipping out. And I said, yeah, sometimes I just can't believe that people are flipping out over the littlest things. Like, did you have that little in your background where that's a big deal? And she said, Mom, what happens if that was her last draw of the day? And I went,
right. Mm-hmm.
Point taken. I am shutting up now because she was brilliant, and she's my daughter, and I love her.
Yeah,
she was
brilliant.
Right, because we don't know the struggles.
Yeah.
No, it's the 6 years of breastfeeding.
Yes, that's right. It really is. Yes, her mind is genius. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really think that's important for us to bring out even right now, is that maybe we have to just think about ourselves first, like being more merciful to everyone that we meet.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what's happening in people's lives. We don't know what they are going through or have been through or know they're about to go through.
Right.
Yep. We have to just be prepared almost when we go, whenever we deal with anyone right now, we have to be ready to be merciful to them.
Absolutely.
Just that undeserved favor where we're just, you know, okay. Just because somebody says something doesn't mean you have to answer it. You know, my granddaddy used to say you don't have to attend every argument you're invited to. And I think you don't. You really don't. And so when we think about mercy and we think about how there are so many challenges anyway in breastfeeding and pregnancy and just motherhood in general, how can we show some more mercy to ourselves as mothers?
Like being the pregnant person?
Mm-hmm.
Or I've had therapy on and off in my life since I was 12. And one thing that keeps getting put into my head, because obviously I haven't learned the lesson yet, is that high expectations, that breeds depression, because nobody is ever going to reach every high expectation that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Keep realistic expectations. And that's so important, because we can't be all to everyone, and sometimes we can't even be all to ourselves, because we're going to have bad days.
Mm.
And when your kids get to teenagers, they're going to tell you exactly when your bad days were.
Mm.
And we have to forgive ourselves. I remember the first counseling session I had about domestic violence, that was the last thing my counselor said to me, was to forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so angry because, you know, he did everything.
Yeah.
He did. But
yeah.
The older I get, is I have to forgive myself for not being strong enough, for helping them every single time they needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. And I do blame myself for a lot, but You know, we can only do what we can do in mm-hmm. any day. And the best that we can do is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But living in the woulda, shoulda, couldas, that also breeds depression. And that is no place. That is not a rabbit hole to go down.
Mm-hmm. If you don't have a time machine or a magic wand, the only thing you can really influence is now and the future.
Yep. Yep.
And I appreciate
and stop,
that.
Go.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say, another thing, another piece of advice is to stop going on the mommy boards on Facebook.
Okay. Yep.
Because they can be very, very troublesome. And, you know, as a lactation consultant, too, I will say, I will find you excellent videos about latching and things on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I will find them for you because they aren't all up to the same quality. But mm-hmm. the mommy groups, oh my gosh, like I've been tagged in some posts, especially like the Indigenous mommy one. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I can't be a full-time lactation consultant just to Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we need more Indigenous lactation consultants. We need more Indigenous people to know about how to help women and people yeah. through breastfeeding challenges. So we don't need to get a group consensus to make our decision.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you saying that. Your candor and transparency are always such a blessing to me. And so let's get some more. Really, let's actually actively encourage somebody out there. I mean, people are looking for their path for life. You know, you're going to work somewhere. You're going to do something. Maybe you're yeah. feeling a calling to this. So help us. Give us your best recruitment speech. If someone's thinking, hey, maybe this is for me, tell them why it is.
Oh, because you get to help transform people into a family. Love that part.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons I became a midwife, is because you're taking these individuals and putting them into a bigger whole, like whole with a W.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And with the lactation, I mean, there's such strong evidence out there that breastfeeding helps to overcome intergenerational trauma. Mm-hmm. And that's not just for Indigenous people. I had a conversation with one of my adult friends, and she's suffering from intergenerational trauma too, and breastfeeding helped her. So when mm-hmm. we can help people meet their breastfeeding goals,
mm-hmm.
they become stronger because of it. They learn that when they speak for the baby to say, my baby's hungry, people go, oh, they're listening. Like mm-hmm. they realize people are listening to them. So then she can start speaking up for herself. Can you get me a drink while I'm here feeding the baby?
Mm-hmm.
And then when she realizes her strength there, then it's going to strengthen the family. And then it's going to strengthen our community, and then our clans, and then our nation, and it's just going to be utterly transforming.
Yes.
And, you know, being a lactation consultant in a hospital in, like, NICUs, that's so important because there's a lot of counseling to being a lactation consultant.
Mm-hmm.
But in NICU, some people don't know what's going to happen to their baby or what happens to their baby when they are in the room. So promoting the brilliant medicine that breast milk is, that creator helps moms to make, that mom, even if she's not there, she's going to know that, oh my goodness, that milk is still I'm still going to be here for that baby. And the lactation consultant can help the mom to understand that breast milk is the best thing that she can do for her baby, because it is medicine. It's not just nutrition. It's medicine for our baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And it's just, and then you get to smell babies at home visits, and you get the whole baby. And like, that's a bonus.
Yes. Oh, what a lovely life. What a wonderful, wonderful life. When we come back from break, we're going to talk with you much more about what it is that you do and learn from you even more of your wisdom. Already, I feel like lives are being transformed, and I certainly know mine is. When we come back from break, we'll have much more of this beautiful conversation. And I want to thank Adam H. Board of Franklin County for funding this series. series on improving Indigenous mental health and making this possible. We'll be right back.
Savor, better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds, can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Hi everyone, Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or...
yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something, serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are, but I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Better believe they get on their knees, they pray hard,
I love this conversation. Oh my goodness. And I am so happy to be speaking with our guest today. Would you reintroduce yourself to us, please?
Sure. My name is Stephanie George. I'm Oneida and French Canadian. I'm an Indigenous midwife and a lactation consultant and a wife, a mom, a sister, a friend. I forgot to put that in the last list because that's really important in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, happy IBCLC Day.
Thank you. I don't hear that enough. So thank you.
Well,
we have where I work, we have this page called Healthy Six Nay. It's with the number six and then Nay. And I'm part of the social media team, so I posted this really lovely thing for IBCLC Day, and I'm having. I will admit, I reached out to a couple clients to post because you know the higher ups will see, but there's people posting now that I didn't ask to post. And the last one was from a grandma.
Oh.
And what I did for her. And, you know, I think that one made me cry more than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, they all made me cry, but that one was special.
Why is it so important? I mean, some of our grandmothers didn't get the chance. Some mothers didn't get the chance.
Right.
But why is it so important in this generation, with rockets to space and self-driving cars and all the technology and advancements, why is that skin-to-skin and breastfeeding and nursing still so important?
Well, traditionally, it's what Creator wanted us to do.
Mm-hmm.
He made the women to make the breast milk and nurture our babies. Now that skin to skin, every time you touch that baby, especially if it's skin to skin, it helps that brain to grow. It
mm-hmm.
helps digestion. It helps normalize the baby's glucose level. It helps. This is the one thing I love most about skin to skin, and this works for moms and dads, but it's stronger for moms,
mm-hmm.
is that we are baby's furnace. So if baby is cold, we will bring baby up to a normal temperature. Dads can do it too. Moms can also bring temperatures down. But the cool thing about that is, I mean, swaddling our babies is really important. I was taught before the colonists came that we stayed naked in bed with the baby for a month to get all that skin to skin. So swaddling is important, but later. So when we are skin to skin with the baby, we keep them at the proper temperature so they don't have to burn calories to stay warm. So babies that have the skin to skin, they gain weight better. Not to say, like I had a boy that gained a pound a week for the first six weeks, and my daughter took a month to gain a pound. Weight is definitely not everything when it comes to breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
But when we swaddle and remove the baby, that's an intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Baby's supposed to be on us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these wonderful blessings from doing that. Plus, we have the cradle boards or the Tiknoggins or the cloth wraps. When babies start growing and they're still attached to mom or dad that's
mm-hmm.
carrying them, the world is a safe place because mom and dad can just hold them.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a safe place to explore the world from. And giving that baby... those babies, that emotional center provides better mental health as they age because they don't have to worry about, well, who's going to tend to me when I'm scared because mom and dad are there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love that part. Like I've seen babies who are swaddled and in the bassinet or beside mom or dad on the couch have excellent diapers, like lots of wet, lots of seedy poop, who are still losing weight. So
mm-hmm.
I said, well, keep baby attached to somebody, mom or dad, overnight, and now we'll come back. And like within 24 hours, I have seen between 4 and 8 ounces weight gain.
Wow.
That's how cold the house was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because blankets work to reflect heat. The babies still have to burn those calories. So when mom or dad is the furnace, all those calories go to weight.
Mm. That's miraculous.
Isn't it? Creator was so smart.
Oh, absolutely. And so, okay, wow. I mean, I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed. It's so perfect and so loving and so wonderful, and I wonder why we even tamper with it. You know, so how do we resist some of the societal pressure, you know, that tells us, oh, well, don't nurse too long, don't nurse them to sleep, or they'll get spoiled, or don't hold them all the time, or just crazy stuff that people will say to us. How do we resist some of that?
The way I word it with my clients is that when you are one-on-one with the baby and you're working with your mommy intuition, that mommy intuition is a direct contact between you, creator, and that baby.
Mm.
So if you're following that intuition, you're always going to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people have issues, have trouble knowing, like differentiating between fear and intuition. And but mm-hmm. once you learn where that feels in your body, everybody has it different, but when I feel that intuition, it is in my heart mm-hmm. and head, and I just get really warm and like mm-hmm. my upper body, and I just yeah. know that's the intuition. Fear stays in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Fear doesn't do anything good when it comes to parenting, because you've lost that connection with creator.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is so helpful. That is wonderful, because one of the great things, I mean, being an indigenous is a superpower, because one of the things that we do in our communities is we respect the spirit. We respect, you know, mm-hmm. people can say things to us like, I had a dream, and everybody goes, okay, you know, as opposed to mainstream, yeah. which is like, uh-oh, you know, something's wrong. And so I love the fact that you are combining, you know, yes, there is real medical wisdom, and we appreciate that knowledge, but you're also allowing us a space for culture and for spirit and for our creator to interact with us on all of these levels. And I want to make sure that we help somebody today. I mean, you've been giving us so much to think about and so comforting and helpful. Would you take a moment and speak from your heart? I mean, this is an unusual time to be a parent. A breastfeeding parent, a pregnant person. I mean, this is wow. This is a lot.
Yeah.
And I know that some of our listeners right now are struggling and they feel like they're failing. And I would just love it if you would speak directly to our friends, just from your heart and from that wonderful creator-led intuition that you have. Please.
What I will say is, stop being so hard on yourself. Stop comparing you to other people, because you have your own journey that you're on as a person and as a sister, a daughter, a son, a father, and that is important. Other people have their own journey.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is, if you need to, like, smudge whatever your traditional medicines are that bring you peace and clear away the fog that's in your brain. Because you know what is right. Because creator is telling you what's right. And it might not be what Western society or Western medicine is saying necessarily. But there's a way to work with both and to find the middle ground where everybody's okay. And no, there's a difference between happiness and contentment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just like there's a difference between depression and being sad.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness is fleeting. Happiness can come from smelling a rose. It can come from winning the lottery. But contentment means that, you know, sometimes you have down days, but you're really happy where you are. And if you aren't happy where you are, that's okay. Find out where you want to go and find people to help you get there.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I started as a midwifery student that I realized that there really are people in this world that feel alone.
Yeah.
They may have been kicked out of their families, or I'm not sure what the circumstances are, but there are people that feel that they are alone. And those are the people I want to give my love to the most, because Creator didn't set up us as families. I mean, Creator set us up to be in families, either families by choice or mm-hmm. families by DNA. And they're both equally important. So find those friends, find those families. And you know, there are people out there that want to hurt, but there are so many more people out there who want to help.
Mm-hmm.
So find those helpers, even if it starts with going to the elders. Elders seem to know. Uh-huh. Elders are Creator. Elders and Creator are, they are so close.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's it. And have faith in yourself, because you really are amazing. I don't know you, but you are amazing, because Creator put you here to succeed in whatever way He wants you to succeed. And sometimes how we want to succeed isn't what Creator wants us to do. I remember being home with two kids in diapers, and one of my Black friends from high school was doing this wonderful, like, equity, diversity talk on TV, like in front of sports celebrities. And I was like, and here I am raising two kids. You know, I felt really low.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Kathy Stonehouse. I love to keep Kathy's name alive. Mm-hmm. So what I decided then was, you know, it's okay. Kathy's got hers, but I'm going to make sure those two kids that I was looking at are going to change the world. And then it became four kids that are going to change the world.
Mm.
And it was one of those two kids that complimented that lady with her tattoo. So I know I did okay. And then, you know, I didn't ever foresee me becoming president of the International Lactation Consultant Association, but Creator said, you know what? I think I got something for you.
Yes.
And
yes,
I'm extremely happy for that. But we have to trust Creator and Creator's process. And Creator doesn't want us to suffer. Like, I work, I've heard there's some churches during residential schools and during colonization have done a number on us, where we are told if we are in, like, families are forever and you need to stay, and women constantly need to please the man, and that's wrong. Creator didn't. Creator didn't set up families to have anybody be abused or treated poorly. We are equal in Creator's eyes, men and women, and Creator wants us both, or whatever gender you are, Creator wants us all to succeed and have equal respect for everybody. And if there's a power imbalance, sometimes it's okay to get out of that relationship if the other person's not willing to change permanently, because anybody can change for a few days, but it's maintaining that change for 6 months to a year. You're allowed to be happy. You're allowed to be safe. Nobody deserves to walk on eggshells. And I know how hard it is. Ignore the gaslighting, because the abusers love to gaslight and turn people against the victim. I'm still working through that, because my ex-husband still has people thinking that I was the bad person. And you know what? I feel bad that they have fallen victim to that manipulation through him.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the truth is. And he's having car issues right now. If he would just ask, I wouldn't mind giving him, like, pain, because they need two cars. But he would never ask me for that. But my heart is there to help, because my daughter, our daughter, still lives with him. And, you know, having two cars would be really good for her, too. And letting go of that pain. I mean, it's taken me years. And I'm still being away from him. It's easier because he's not in my face all the time, and he's not sending nasty texts anymore. But the issues that I have with mom keep repeating, because she keeps doing the same thing. So we're working on a separation again. She's going to go to her own place. And then I'm going to love her a heck of a lot more, because the repetitive nature of that emotional abuse won't be in my face anymore.
Wow.
It's hard. I mean, I love my mom.
Yeah.
But I want us to have a great, healthy relationship where neither one of us is walking on eggshells, because that's not healthy for anybody.
Right. You are a brave and courageous person. And I see so much in your life that's transformational leadership. And I'm so thankful for that. And I want to make sure that our friends who are experiencing your wisdom today can connect with you. Maybe there are folks that need to connect with your organization, or how do they do that?
The easiest way would be probably just to find me on Twitter. My handle on Twitter is My Time at Last. My ex-husband gave me 4 wonderful children, the one that I miscarried, and he gave me this moniker that I use everywhere. So My Time at Last. I'm also on Instagram at My Time at Last. Facebook, I'm there, but I'm having a hard time with knowing what I can put on Facebook, what I can't, because I am president of ILCA. Twitter or Instagram would be the better places to contact me, and then I will send you, I will help you, or whoever wants to contact, or I will help you find places that will be able to help you where you are.
What do you want to see happen with your organization under your leadership?
It's a great question, because I mean, look at what's happening with the upcoming World War III right now. And there's been a lot of talk about how people are so concerned because they're blonde and blue-eyed. But there's not a lot of media attention on the Black folks that are trying to find safety in another country that aren't getting let through.
Oh, my.
I want organizations to help people. I want to be a leader that can show that, you know, finding similarities in Western medicine and traditional teachings, or natural healing methods, that there's a way to work with both. It's like I mentioned the word siloing before. There's so much of that, and it's so unhealthy. Like at the birthing center, I was trained in traditional teaching and Western medicine side by side. So I know there's a way to work it out. We have to accept our traditional teachings as being equal, because when you think about it, our traditional medicines have been here for thousands and thousands of years, and Western medicine's only, what, like 100, 200 years old? So I think we know what we're talking about that way.
We do.
And we're storytellers, right? The things that we do just can't be a checkbox. I teach a humility cultural safety course at a university in Canada, and the questions I need to answer at the end, the answers have to show me how they've changed. It's not, do you do X, Y, or Z? Is how would you proceed in this, and what are you looking out for? And if they say, I'm looking for those commonalities, I'm remembering it's about her pain, not mine. It's like, oh yeah, you learned, you get your mark.
You are a magnificent person. Is there anything else you want us to know about this wonderful, happy day for all our lovely lactation consultants, or about parenting in a pandemic? Just anything else you want us to know that we haven't already discussed?
I think that I've talked too much about the parenting in the pandemic. One thing that's been great for healthy families is all of the together time that we've had.
Yes.
And I mean, that's never going to come back. Nobody wants to live through these past 2 years again. I think we really got to know our families again, because we weren't so busy doing the proper extracurriculars with our children, you know? And we learned to take care of each other in a different way. And I think that different way can be a healthier, I mean, granted, sometimes we had way too much time together. I'm not denying that, but that's okay to say. Like, I need an hour away from all of you, and then I'm going to love you again. But, I mean, on the other side of that, the people who are in an abusive relationship had an even worse time during the pandemic.
Right, yeah.
And I know it isn't a political thing, in my opinion, about vaccines or masks, because the science is very strong about both of them.
Right.
But respect the other person's choice. And don't berate them if they are saying something that you don't agree with. Like, for me, I'm going to be wearing my mask a very, very long time.
Yep, me too.
Until I feel safe.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to laugh at me, especially because it would, I mean, I'd go from 0 to 10, and then that's not a good thing either. just be nice. Like, just be nice. And, I mean, we had the last few months have been really bad, especially last month or two up in Canada, where we've had these anti-mandate people that have caused a lot of pain and anguish in Canada. And part of the things that they were doing was going to protest kids outside of a school. Like, who does that?
Right.
Like, just be nice. And, you know, the old adage, if you can't say anything nice, just don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. We don't have to give, like you were saying earlier, we don't have to give an opinion on everything. Because we don't know what someone else is going through. Like, my cousin, she has long-haul COVID, and she's on the lung transplant list and almost on the heart transplant list. Ugh. And now I'm doing everything I can to save her in emotional ways and physical ways, because she's utterly depressed because her expectations for life aren't going to be met now.
Right, right.
And she's getting professional counseling, too. I can be meaner than a counselor can be, because I'm her cousin.
Right. That's right.
I can rip off that Band-Aid. But just be nice and patient. We don't know what somebody else is going through. I remember one time I was at a waiting at pre-COVID, and a little kid in a little, like 4 or 5 years old, wanted mom to read the book. And the mom kept saying no, and I was heartbroken for the child. But as I was talking to you, I was reliving that in my head, and you know, maybe the mom was finding out that somebody just got admitted to hospice and she couldn't stop the conversation. Mm-hmm. So we really need to chill and just be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for helping us today by having this conversation. I really believe that you're a blessing to us and to our friends who listen today, and I'm so thankful for you.
Thank you for asking. You are a wonderful, easy person to talk to. And you're a fantastic host on this show as well. I've listened to other interviews with you. You're fantastic. I still think you're glamorous. I will always be with you.
Bless your heart. Thank you so much for saying that. And thank you for your friendship. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We're each other's fan clubs. Yay.
Yay. Thank you to all of our friends who joined us today. You know, you could be doing anything. You could, just anything with your time. And the fact that you spend it listening to this show, it's not lost on me. It's a gift to me, and I'm grateful for you. Thank you so much to our sponsors, to this network, to our beautiful guests, to all of you who listen, to everybody who makes this show possible in any way. I hope somebody said it to you today, but just in case they haven't, we love you, and the Creator does too. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
Come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you.
yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.